So turn with me, if you will, to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. And today we're going to be pretty much exclusively in this chapter as we're going to deeply explore 1 John chapter 4. And we've been talking about emoji and our emotions. And there are negative emotions. We have those emotions where we're angry, and I know nobody in here has ever been mad before. Sadness, and I know nobody in here has ever been sad before. Bitter, loneliness, a sense of apathy, a sense of lack of purpose, a sense of confusion. All of us have walked down those roads of having those negative emotions. We've also had those positive emotions of joy and happiness and delight and excitement and pleasure and peace and all of those emotions. But today, we're going to talk about where sometimes we have this, and I believe there's probably some in this room, maybe most of you have experienced this, this sense of an emotional unsettlement, that something just doesn't feel right. You can't necessarily place your finger on it. Maybe you've tried. Maybe you've called it sadness. Maybe you've said confusion, depression, anger, stress. But still, you're not really sure if you've diagnosed yourself correctly. My wife makes fun of me because I should never go to Google for a health checkup. Because I diagnose myself with all kinds of crazy stuff at the slightest sign of any discomfort. Yeah. But when we have discomfort, we are compelled to find solutions, aren't we? But sometimes we can't find a solution. And some of you've had that sense of uneasiness, maybe you call it insecurity. You're just not sure what to do with that. You're not sure what it is. You might not even be sure where it has come from. Maybe you can't even remember when it began. That's how long that you've had that sense of uneasiness or something's just not right in my spirit. And maybe you've chased from one thing to another, where you've pursued people, you've pursued maybe drugs, alcohol, maybe sexual promiscuity, you've pursued goals and achievements, you've pursued possessions, and you've run from one thing to another, and you still feel a sense of emptiness or void or something's missing, something's not right. And it makes me think of, when we're going to get into attachment, it makes me think of my two youngest. DJ and Faith have this amazing ability to attach themselves to your body. That if you make it your goal to get their feet to the floor, it's like everything you try as far as getting them downward, their feet keep going upward. It's like the floor and their feet are those opposite magnet energy that just won't go together. DJ, sometimes if he's playing with the girls, he manages to hop his body, and I'm not really just trying to keep him from falling off, hops his body pretty much around my neck up to this. I mean, it feels like he's trying to climb to stand on the top of my head. They have this amazing ability to attach. And if you've ever had a child that feels clingy to you and you try to drop them off at a nursery or a preschool and they wrap around your legs and you can't do anything to pry them off of you, they've attached themselves to you. And this attachment is important, and it's reflective of something that is needed within our hearts. And we have a dilemma when it comes to our emotions, because as much as some of us, and I think sometimes some of us, have made ourselves so busy so as to not even feel the emotion that's there. We're running and running and running and running and running, and when everything stops, all of a sudden we remember that's there. And so we begin to run and run and run again. So what is that tension, and how do we resolve that tension or that uneasiness that's within our spirit? And as we've been exploring these emotions, our first couple of steps were to eliminate toxins. That is, that we can't have sin present within our spirits. We need to make sure that we get rid of the wrong kind of people in our lives. We need to make sure that we're getting rid of, my mind is drawing a blank. I was wanting to see if anybody can remember all 4 points. No? Then your assignment is you have to listen to that message 3 times this week. It's on the website. we got to get rid of unchecked cravings, grudges, those sort of things. If they're there, you're going to have this emotional instability. Then we need to add solutions, that is to be prepared through righteousness, understanding our future, patiently being optimistic, and maintaining a devotional life. But today, we're going to attempt to resolve that sense of uneasiness. And some of us have even found that in pursuing God, that emotional tension is still there. We've prayed harder. We've studied the Bible more. We've come to church more often. We've done more ministry. We've done everything we can to pursue God, and yet there's still some sense of something's not right. And what is that? And why is that there? And what is causing it? And John is going to give us an understanding of that in his epistle in 1 John chapter 4. Look with me, if you will. The first verse says this: Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is already in the world. Verse 4. Little children, you are now from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. Verse 6. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Test the spirits to know whether or not they are from God. And then he says, for many false prophets have gone out into the world, showing us that this testing of the spirits is not sensing whether or not there is an angel or a demon present with me. It's a sense of what spirit is this person? Is this person of God, or are they of the enemy, or are they not a believer? I need to understand, is this person safe? Are they right with the Lord? And that's why he would say, then, you guys are from God, these individuals are not from God. So we're testing individuals as far as their salvation and their rightness before God. But then you begin to see John react to making that statement. Because in this environment, we're questioning someone's salvation. He gets the sense that you might start to question yours, and you might start to feel insecure about your salvation. So he says, listen, I've experienced you, and I know that you are from God. You're from God, we're from God, you're good, and so I want to assure you of your salvation. And then the verses following in this chapter all have to do with those six verses of we were in the context of questioning salvation, testing the spirits, evaluating people, and now you might have a sense of uneasiness about your salvation. So now I want to tell you how to make sure to assure yourself of your salvation. And he continues with verse 7. He says, Beloved, let us now love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. So if I love, if I demonstrate love to other people, then I will know that I'm from God. Not from simply doing righteousness, not simply by just seeking God, but if I am able to love others, then I am from God. Now, what does that have to do with what John's talking about here, and why is this necessary? Well, verse 8, he says, anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. If I've encountered God, and I don't just mean giving a list of requests to him, I don't just mean coming to church, I don't mean just believing in him, I mean actually interacting with him and loving on him and lavishing my affection upon him and expressing my love for him and then actually feeling him love me, speak to me, engaging in that presence. If I've encountered that, John says God is love. And so if you've encountered God, you have this compulsion to love, this capability of loving. And so if you want to learn how to love, first we have to begin with this attaching ourselves to God in a deep fellowship with him. And then verse 9, he says, in this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world that we might live through Him. So then, God knows God is an invisible God. God is spirit, and so cannot be touched physically. So God does the miraculous, and He comes down and takes on human flesh so that people can touch Him and feel Him and see Him and speak with Him and interact with Him. He makes Himself present, physically present with them, demonstrating this love, giving them the ability to see Him and attach to Him. And then He says this, verse 10, "And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation of our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." Did you hear that? We didn't even love God. We weren't pursuing Him. We weren't after Him. God didn't wait for... And here's the thing. Sometimes we want people to love us. We want people to care about us. But in order for us to know if they really care about us, we want them to make the first move. And so I'm not going to talk to you. I'm not going to call you. I'm not going to interact with you. I'm not going to demonstrate love to you because I won't know if you really love me unless I give you the cold shoulder. And girls are guilty of doing that sometimes to guys. My wife is not that way. I just had to fast and pray to make her interested in me. We do that. We think, oh, they didn't look at me. They didn't talk to me. They didn't come and find me. They didn't notice me. And we think we need that in order to express love. And Jesus didn't express love that way. Jesus, when we were lost, when we were disconnected, when we were sinful, when we were awful, Jesus showed up on the scene, physically manifested Himself, and began to demonstrate love to people. And then when we encounter that love, what happens is, if I actually experience Jesus Christ and I come to know Him and I express love to Him and He expresses love to me and I feel His presence and I delight in that, and that's not just Sunday morning, that's every single day encountering that, all of a sudden I gain this capacity to love like I've never been able to love before. And here's the big thing. Actually, there's a bigger thing that comes later. Verse 12, He says, "No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love is perfected in us." No one has ever seen God, but if we love people, then we make Him known. We make God's love visible. What does that mean? That means that if I reach out to someone who's not demonstrating love to me, they don't seem to care about me, but I begin to do things to express love to them, and I begin to be present with them and interact with them and demonstrate love to them. You know what that means? That means all of a sudden that person becomes capable to love God because of the love that a person shown them. That means if I can attach, if I can have a strong, healthy relationship with another person, I have the capacity to love God. But it takes that kind of encounter in order to encounter God's love. That's why Jesus came present among us, because we needed that physical touch. God says that it is not good for man to be alone. God, in His creation that He made, that He labeled good, He says, however, it's not good for them to be alone. Is God all we need? Yes, but God made us to need each other. And we will not have the capacity to love if we don't have healthy relationships with one another. And you might be tight with God. You might have God's number and you have a bat phone that you can pick it up and just hear His voice all the time. But if you don't have a strong relationship with another person, there's always going to be something that's just not right. It's just missing. And if you're wondering, why is that anger still there? Why is that sadness still there? Why is that fear still there? Why do I sense a measure of instability in my heart and within my emotions? You're going to always have that if you don't have a healthy, loving relationship with another person, beyond God, another person. God says that we need that. Why is he telling us to love one another? Because it's not needed? Because it's not an essential? He's telling us this because people can't learn to love. People can't have the capacity to love. They can't have the capacity to seek God unless they encounter love in you. But I know that some of us like to be alone. I know that some of us would rather go off and read a book somewhere. I know that people are the easiest kind of beings to get along with, right? Nobody. You guys are being a tough crowd today. We should give you the coffee before service. I know that this is a hard thing to embrace. Maybe it's not. But you've tried out with people. You've tested the waters with people, and you've found that people can't be trusted. And so you've given up on people. But you are never be able to have full emotional security unless you have loving relationship with others. And if you've had that, I'm telling you, if you go to a place where you feel stressed and you have that person that you can turn to and say, I'm struggling with this, I'm stressed about this, I'm afraid of this, and you could pour your heart out to that person, and it's not the person that's going to belittle you when you do that, but not the person who's just going to let you stay in your misery either. If you have that kind of person that you can go to, turn to, it's amazing how much you feel better with that, how much more you're able to cope with life with that. And some of us can be around a bunch of people and still not actually be emotionally connected to others. Some of us can be married and not actually be emotionally connected to someone. Just because you have a ring on your finger doesn't mean you've attached to a person. And this is the way we learn how to love and experience God's love if we have relationships with others. So how many friends do you have? And don't check your Facebook page to see how many Facebook friends you have on Facebook, because that's not what we're talking about. I mean an in-depth, I care deeply for this person, and I express that to them, and I talk with them, and I see them on a regular basis. They know my dreams, they know my hopes, they know my fears, they know my struggles, and I know theirs, and we're there for each other. That kind of relationship, if you don't have that, you're going to always be lacking. But then there's a second thing that demonstrates itself in the latter part of this chapter, and there's a verse that we've all quoted, and we all know very well. But I don't know if we've ever gotten the full scope of the meaning of this verse. And it's going to blow your mind in a moment. You excited? Yeah. I feel the intensity level rising. verse 12, you see him saying, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. I want you to keep that in mind. His love is perfected in us. That is, that when we are demonstrating this love to one another, we have loved God, we've experienced his love, now I have the capacity to love, and now I'm loving other people, and they're loving me, and in turn we're all loving God, and we have this loving community going on. In this is love perfected. Keep that in mind. Then verse 13, it says, by this we know that we abide in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit. Again, you sense the feel of we've questioned salvation, we've tested the Spirit, now we need some assurance to know whether or not we are of the Spirit. Verse 14, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in him abides in God, and God abides in him. So again, he's reassuring the salvation. Then he says this, verse 17, by this is love perfected with us. Again, we have that line. So that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in the world. First, to backtrack to that first part of attaching to others, as he is, so are we in the world. The way God loves, we are to demonstrate that to the world, because that's how God becomes visible, is by what you do. Why is it that we're called the body of Christ? Because we are his body, because we are the ones that demonstrate God's love. But he says, in this, we have confidence. We have this assurance. We have this sense of peace. We have this sense of security when we have this kind of relationship in our lives. But then, verse 18, you know this verse well. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. Perfect love casts out all fear. Now, twice in this passage, it says, in this, love is perfected. Then he says, perfect love casts out all fear. Do you know what the perfect love is that casts out fear? It's when I'm in this environment where I am engaging God, loving on God, He is loving on me, and beyond that, I'm loving on other people, and they are loving on me, and when I am having this kind of exchange in my life, then love is perfected. And if love is perfected, then perfect love casts out fear. Do you know what that means? That means that if you lack an ability to have a healthy, emotionally attached relationship with another person, anxiety can still linger there. Fear can still be present. But perfect love, that is this environment of this relationship, casts out all fear. Some of you are struggling with anxiety, and some of you are struggling with depression and fear and stress because you're facing life alone. Well, I'm not alone. I have God with me. Even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Yet that same God says it is not good for man to be alone. And some of you feel emotionally insecure. And the reason why is because you don't have a person demonstrating love into your life, a person feeding encouragement into your life. And we sometimes feel guilty about that idea because we think, I should just be able to need God, and that's good enough. But again, I can't tell you enough. God says, no, that is not good enough. We need each other. And so if you want to find fear going, he's not saying pray harder. Perfect love casts out fear, so pray harder. He's not saying that. He's saying build strong, healthy, emotionally bonded, attached relationship with one another. That's what makes us capable to cope with the stresses of this world. So how many friends do you have? And we're not bragging. I don't want any volunteers. I know Joyce has 100 friends all over the place. But how many friends do you have? I don't mean acquaintances. I don't mean people that you know their names or they're friends with you on Facebook or you went to high school with them. I mean, how many people, when you're struggling with something, do you have people in mind that you have their phone number and you can pick up the phone and you can have an in-depth conversation with them? How many people do you see on a regular basis beyond just in this building? And I don't mean the cashier at the grocery store. That's not healthy attachment. And if you're attached to that cashier, that's still not healthy attachment. We need love in our lives. We need that. Amen. And you will not be able to make God known if you don't have those relationships. You need that, and other people need you. And then he concludes his chapter, verse 18, saying, we love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must love his brother also. That is perplexing to me, because he's saying, how can you love God whom you can't see and not love people that you can see? You know what he's saying there? He's saying it's easier to love people than to love God. Isn't that perplexing? We usually think it's the other way around. It's easier to love God than it is to love people. He is saying it's easier to love people than God because you can't see him. You can't touch him physically. You can't usually audibly hear his voice, but people you can. People are all around you. And he's saying if you say you love him, but you can't love them, there's something wrong. And I don't care how many Bible verses you know. I don't care if you have perfect attendance at church. I don't care if you're involved in 300 ministries. I don't care if you give everything you have and give it to the poor. I don't care if you're living a life without sin. If you are not demonstrating love to people, and I don't mean just smiling at them. I don't mean just being nice. I don't mean just refraining from telling them what you really want to tell them. I mean actually having an in-depth, intimate, close relationship with them. And this can happen not only within the scope of marriage. Some people think the only place I can have that strong of a passion, I feel affection towards this person, I show my affection for them, I share everything with them kind of person, it can only be found in marriage. You're wrong. Otherwise, why would Paul exalt the idea of singleness if we can't fulfill this within singleness? You need friends. And this is coming from an introvert, all right? You need friends. And I believe this with all my heart, and that's why you guys sometimes think I'm not an introvert. Because I push myself to make sure I'm there with people and getting to know people. And sometimes that means risking sharing something with somebody who might share it with somebody else, who might not react the way you want them to react. But sometimes you're going to have to look through under a lot of rocks before you find that gem that you need in your life. You need this. And I want to demonstrate one last thing for you. 1 John chapter 1. In case you don't think that this is what John is referring to when he wrote this chapter, this need for a loving, attached, healthy relationship with others, listen to how he opens his letter. 1 John chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we look upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. That is Jesus. They've encountered Jesus. He made himself manifest to them. These are the apostles. We saw him. We touched him. We felt him. And then he continues, verse 2, the life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaim it to you, the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us, verse 3. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you, why do they proclaim this? Why is he writing this letter? So that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship was with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. John's saying, I'm writing this letter to you so that you will know us, that you will have fellowship with us, that we will have a deep, enriching relationship with one another. That's why I'm writing this. And then he says, if you have this, listen to this, verse 4. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be made complete. He's saying that my goal is for you guys to have a bond with one another, for you to be close with each other. And if you have that, then all of a sudden we're going to have an amazing sense of joy in our hearts. That's where peace comes from. That's where joy comes from. That's where perfect love cast out fear comes from. It's not just with praying harder. Do we need that? Yes. Not just living a better life. Do we need that? Yes. But if you don't have friends, you're going to always struggle to cope with life. So how many friends do you have? Will you stand with me? Worship team, will you come and prepare to lead us? How many friends do you have? I'm amazed that I can have, through being at a number of churches involved in leadership, the number of my friends on Facebook is in large part due to that, or to my popular wife, who I end up just being friends with those who she's friends with on Facebook. But I'm amazed at how many friends I can have on Facebook that sometimes I look at the list of names and think, I don't remember who that person is. How did I ever become? I don't even know who is that person. And again, we can be in a crowded room, but be lonely. We can live in a household of 10 people and be lonely. You can be married and not be emotionally attached to anyone. And all the while, you find yourself dealing with insecurities, dealing with why am I not joyful? Why do I still struggle with this sadness? All the while struggling with why do I feel a sense of a lack of purpose? Why do I feel empty, apathetic, lacking in love? Why is that? I don't understand why this is here. I'm praying, and I'm reading the Bible, and I'm studying it, and I'm going to church, and I'm doing the things God has called me to do. But this tension, this emotional tension within my heart is not resolved. Why is that? Because God says it is not good for man to be alone. And you cannot just simply wait for someone else to extend friendship to you. That's not how Jesus loved. While we were not showing any love towards Him, expressing any sense of a desire to know Him, He loved us. You can't wait. You can't wait for someone else. Stop with the whole protecting yourself, and stop with the whole, I don't need them, and besides, I'm not going to know if it's genuine unless they reach out. Stop playing those games and start demonstrating love, because that's what John says. If you start demonstrating love, don't wait for someone else to do it. If you start demonstrating love, and this is not just worship. This is seeking out other people. You start demonstrating love, all of a sudden you have this sense of confidence before God at judgment that I know I'm right with God. Why? Because I did a miraculous thing? Why? Because I know the Bible so well? No, simply because I loved. And you are going to make God known by that love. Some of our loved ones, some of our relatives, some of our coworkers, they don't know Christ because they don't know His love. Because you have yet to demonstrate that love to them. Invite them to your home. Pray with them. Talk with them. Be kind to them, put up with their garbage, and keep showing them the love of Jesus Christ. Keep showing them understanding. And in the midst of that, watch love become perfected. And that's the perfect love that casts out all fear, is in that environment. Don't you want that? I'm going to ask, I didn't ask them ahead of time, but worship or prayer team, if you would come and stand on this side of the altar area. And what I'd like to do is, if this is you, you have a sense of uneasiness, emptiness, something's not right. And today, as we've been looking through 1 John 4, God's been putting His finger on you and saying, you know what? That's you. Your sadness, your anxiety, your stress, your inability to cope with others is because of your lack of in-depth, healthy, emotionally attached relationships with others. And you want to say today that, God, I need your help because I'm afraid. I need your help because, and I have a sense that some of you here, you might have a relationship in the past that was very rocky. And that's the reason why your present relationships are the way that they are. Whether it was a mom or a dad, whether it was an ex-spouse, but there's something back there that has fractured you and has made you incapable of loving others. But if we've encountered God and we've encountered His love, that kind of attachment makes us capable to love again. And if that's you, you would say, God, I need your help with that. And Lord, I'm making a commitment that I'm going to pursue that. I'm going to put myself out there and start to gain friends and build relationships. And if that's you, you just want to meet with God in that way, then come over here on this place, in this altar area, and seek the Lord. But as we're talking about people and building relationships with others, some of you actually need a person that you can embrace, a person that you can have to pray over you, a person that you can confess to, a person that you can express your struggles with. And that's why these individuals are here now, because they want to be an extension of God's love to you. They want to love on you. They want to pray with you. They want to show you affection. And these guys know God, and so they're able to love because of that. And so if you need someone that you can lean on, that you can hug, then I want to invite you to come and seek one of these individuals out, and they want to pray with you. And as we do that, let's worship the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. Jesus. Lord, we ask that you would... Lord, I ask for those who have those deep scars. Scars that have been brought with abuse in their past, where a parent or a family member had abused them, and that has birthed within them that fear, that sense of uneasiness, that inability to love, that inability to have those kind of relationships. And Lord, we ask that you would bring healing to that. I ask that you would remove the walls of distrust and that you would help us to learn to trust again. Because it's perfect love that casts out fear. Perfect love that's perfected by us encountering you and having fellowship with you and us having fellowship with each other. And Lord, I ask that you would help make Bethel be a safe place. Be a place where people with insecurities can come and find people that won't belittle them, won't look down on them, but will lavish the love of God upon them. Lord, I ask that you would help make Bethel be a place that values confidentiality. That you would make Bethel a place that values showing the character of Christ and the fruit of the Spirit. That love would dwell in this place, in this body. Lord, Bethel is not this building. Bethel is a part of the body of Christ, and wherever we go, there is the presence of the body of Christ. And help us to demonstrate that love. Lord, help us to take the initiative to reach out. To show love. And I ask, Lord, that as we do that, fear will go and love will be found in its place. Anger will go and joy and peace will be found in its place. Help us, Lord, to not hesitate to do everything that we are called to do so that we can find wholeness. Lord, you said your peace you give to us. Your joy you give to us. And that's why you command us to rejoice in the Lord always. That's why you command us to be anxious for nothing. So help us, Lord, to know the fullness of love with God and love with people. Thank you, Lord. Don't be inactive. Don't do it. I understand it's easier for some than it is for others. But don't be inactive. Call someone. Invite them over for dinner. Meet with someone for coffee. But make friends. You need it. And they need it. And we are trying to do everything we can to make an atmosphere for that. We have connection groups that we've been mentioning. In your bulletin, there is a list of connection group leaders with their cell phone numbers. And if a group hasn't met yet, or you haven't been contacted by a group, then you take the initiative. Grab the phone and call them. Well, what do I say? Just say, I want to be a part of a group. Just say, I need somebody. I need to talk to somebody. And that individual on the other side of the phone will say they will love to talk with you and they'll spend time with you. And if they don't, come tell me because they'll be in big, big trouble. We have things like last week. We had coffee set up in the back. We have that again today. Don't leave right away. Spend some time with people. We need people. I am so blessed to have a wife that demonstrates love to me even when I can be kind of a jerk at times. I'm so grateful to have a love that a wife that I can trust my feelings to. And the other day, I was feeling kind of down about myself. Ever have a pity party before? Just having one of those. And rather than going through it alone, I talked things through with her. And it was nothing as far as some great wise thing she said or anything she did. Just being able to share that with someone. Perfect love cast out all fear. And so we need each other. If you're in a coaching group, you need to stay committed to that coaching group. You need to build relationships, start to speak, start to interact, start to listen. But we need people. Because if we learn how to bond and connect with each other, it's going to be easier for us to be able to demonstrate love to others. And the world needs this love. They need it. No apologetics, no amazing defense of the truth of Scripture is going to give it to them. You loving on them is what's going to wake them up. Amen? Would you stand with me? Father, we thank you that when we did not love, when we did not seek you, you sought us out. You left the comforts of heaven, where truly perfection existed. You left there and you came down to this earth. You took on human flesh. You lived a sinless life. You died on the cross and you rose from the dead. And you did all of that for us. And then, Lord, you opened our eyes to see the light of your gospel. You touched our hearts and softened us and drew us in. You sent people our way to draw us in. You have demonstrated love for us time and time again. And we ask that you would help us to truly know you. Because as we saw today, if we know God, God is love. And so we will love our neighbor. And so help us. Help Bethel to be a community of God's love. Help Bethel to be a community in which we have deep, strong, healthy relationships. And help us, Lord, when we struggle with insecurities. Help us, Lord, when we struggle with fear. Help us, Lord, when we have problems with one another, to become united in Christ and to look past our faults. Love covers over a multitude of sins. And help us to find that perfected love that cast out all fear. We ask for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said,